Ramsey TV.
How would you like to have the creator of the universe telling you secrets? Secrets that most people still don't know. Wouldn't that be kind of exciting? Wouldn't that make you feel special? Well, you have it. The God of the universe has told you secrets through information that he gave exclusively to the Apostle Paul. Only in Paul's letters will you find the secrets that I will divulge to you this week, including today I'm going to talk about the secret of God's will. Then I'm going to talk to you about the secret of the conciliation, that God's at peace with the world. That wasn't known before, and you won't find it in any of the prophets. Then the secret of Christ. And how about the secret of the duration of Israel's blindness? And then, according to my plan, I will finish the week with the secret of our change. Ah, yes, you're going to love that. We all look forward to being changed. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to MCTV, linked below. Some people don't know how to get to the links. That's okay. Believe me, I have a hard time with this stuff myself. There's a little tab that says Show More under the video you're looking at now. Hit Show More, and it will reveal a wonderment of other links, including the MP3 to this video. That's right. You don't have to watch this video. You can listen to it. You can download an MP3 file, which is quite shorter, quite smaller than a video file, and you'll find that every single day on every single one of my videos. The MP3 file is always linked below. I thank Kelly, my sister Kelly, for providing that link to you. Yesterday, another Rodney Paris Martin Zender special came out, this one concerning Christ's priesthood. Christ acting as chief priest, according to the order of Melchizedek, during the 1,000 years. See, all through the years since I've been doing this, people have come up with some really wacky teachings. I don't know if it's that people want to make a name for themselves, or they just want to go against mature consensus. They want to be a maverick, or they want to be avant-garde-ish. I don't know what it is. I think it's all those things. But in 1996, Rick Farwell came up with this teaching that Jesus Christ would not be the chief priest in the millennium, during the millennium. It's like, what? Instead, the sons of Zadok would be chief priest. Well, the sons of Zadok will be there as assistants, but the chief priest can be none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I mean, this stuff kind of drives me nuts that I have to waste time and effort on debunking this bunk. And it's easily debunked, but I have to do it because sometimes people hear this crazy stuff. Other crazy things are that half of Paul's letters are not for us. Christ did not pre-exist. The kingdom started in 70 AD. The flood of Noah was local. Ooh, God doesn't know the future. Ooh. Fancy teachings. Oh, who's teaching those things? Avant-garde people. They're on the forefront. They're rebels. They're radicals. They're mavericks. They're finding wrinkles in the scripture that nobody's ever seen before. Well, all that is rather suspect. In fact, it's highly dubious. In fact, all the things I mentioned to you are wrong, and it's shown easily in scripture. So I had to debunk this back in 1996, 26 years ago, at a meeting at Dean Huff's house in Almont, Michigan. This was kind of a hardcore teaching. It's a little technical, but you'll learn a lot about the Melchizedek priesthood, and you'll learn some handy-dandy scriptural interpretation tools. Yes, a couple more interpretative arrows to add to your already considerable quiver. For today, let's talk about the secret of God's will. You see, because God didn't tell everything that was on his mind at one time. He spent years laboring over Israel. Of course, laboring is a figure of speech. It was necessary to provide this contrast for the later revelation of the grace of God. Absolutely essential. So there was a secret revealed by Paul called the secret of God's will. Oh, before I go into detail on that, just the fact that Paul is revealing secrets, even in his early letters, Romans and 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, even though he's 2 Corinthians, even though he's doing that, there are some who still think, and one of the main teachers on this is Clyde Pilkington, who still think that half of Paul's letters are not for us. If I can quote Clyde Pilkington on page 4,323 of his Bible Student's Notebook, volume 490, he said this: "The early ministry and epistles of Paul were founded on the Old Testament and Israel." The early ministry and epistles of Paul were founded on the Old Testament of Israel? Really? Well, what are the early epistles of Paul, according to Clyde Pilkington? And Clyde is getting this teaching from Charles Welch. It's called the Acts 28 theory, stating that Paul's ministry to the nations did not begin until he was an old man in prison, ready to give up the ghost. Of course, that's absurd. Paul was a minister to the nations, as stated in the book of Romans. But here's a quote from Clyde: "Of Paul's 13 epistles, 6 of them, the number of imperfection, were foundational epistles written in the infancy/adolescence stage of the body of Christ. The last 7 were perfection epistles, 7 being the number of perfection. These final 7 were written to the body of Christ in its maturity." So, in other words, the earlier letters of Paul to the immature body of Christ don't apply to us. This man, as well as Charles Welch, is dividing Paul against himself. Yes, we must divide Paul from the rest of scriptures, but to divide Paul from himself is a terrible mistake. Here are Paul's 6 letters, which Clyde deems to be imperfection. Are you ready? Romans. Romans? Imperfection? 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, by the way, is when we get the secret of the conciliation, that God is at peace with the whole world. 1 Thessalonians, there we understand the secret of the snatching away. 2 Thessalonians, Galatians. Yes, according to Clyde, these letters don't belong to us. They're not for us. They're for an earlier iteration of the body of Christ that has since deceased. These are old letters. And they also, I think Clyde would say, apply to Israel. Now, if you want to read my debunking of this, you can go to martinzender.com, scroll down the left-hand side of the page. Once again, scroll, 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 go to ZWTF Archives. What you want to do is find Volume 4, Issue 21. That is called A Defense of the Expectation of the Body of Christ, Part 2. I also recommend part 1. Early letters of Paul were founded upon the Old Testament in Israel? Well, we can only conclude from Clyde's quotes here that Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians and Galatians, as well as Paul's entire early ministry, were founded on the Old Testament of Israel. Now, if we can find one instance where this is not the case, then the statement crumbles and the position is compromised. What if we can find 25 instances? Yes, in this newsletter, I provide you with 25 instances in Paul's early imperfect letters proving that the things Paul is saying in these verses were definitely not founded on the Old Testament and Israel, because they are secrets. And a secret is something that you will not find in other scripture until it is revealed. You will not find it in other scriptures. Paul revealed secrets, hidden counsels of God that God kept close to his chest and did not reveal until he called this man on the road to Damascus. He picked the most unlikely person, you would think, a raving lunatic, an enemy of God at the time, and yet this became his poster child for grace, because he gave the greatest secrets to the man least worthy of it. So today, the secret of Christ. For that, I'm going to go to Ephesians chapter 1, starting with verse 9. This is so good. I'm going to have to backtrack because, well, I'm going to start with verse 9, but I'm eventually going to have to go back to verse 1 because this is all lumped together. It's just one giant run-on sentence, the most glorious run-on sentence, admittedly, that has ever been put into language. God is, quote, verse 9, Ephesians 1, making known to us the secret of his will. Making known to us the secret of his will. This is huge. This is the God of the universe telling us his plans that he didn't tell Isaiah. He didn't tell Jeremiah. He didn't tell Daniel. He didn't tell John the Baptist. He didn't even tell King Herod or Pontius Pilate. Jesus breathed not a word of it while he was on the earth. That's right. What I'm about to read you, Jesus Christ did not breathe a word of while he was on earth. Making known to us the secret of his will. Was the body of Christ functional? Was the body of Christ even existent when Jesus Christ walked the earth? Answers no. Making known to us the secret of his will in accord with his delight, which he purposed in him. This will that he's carrying out was purposed in Christ, and this is in accord, I bring this out to you all the time, with God's delight. Delights God to hide these things from the wise and the prudent and reveal them to babes, to the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. Here it is, verse 10, to have an administration of the complement of the eras, that is the completion of all eras, to head up all in the Christ, both that in the heavens and that on the earth, in him, Christ, in whom our lot was cast also. Our fortunes are tied up with Christ's fortunes. That's better than winning the lottery. Being designated beforehand, us, according to the purpose of the one God who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. So this God who promised us all the blessings that we have, the promises of glory, the promises of being a part of this amazing conciliation of the world, that God is able to deliver it. This is why Paul adds after this amazing statement, he's operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. What's his will? We just found out. For us to have an administration, that is a part of enacting this thing. We have a part in carrying forward God's intention to head up all in the Christ. And when I say all, do I mean things on the heaven or things on the earth? I mean both. Both that in the heavens and that on the earth. That we should be for the Lord of his glory who are pre-expectant in the Christ. Listen to this. That we should be for the Lord of his glory. I believe it's speaking of God's glory here. And as remarkable as this seems, as unbelievable as this sounds, God is going to point to us when we're perfected, when we're taken to the celestial realms after the snatching away. God is going to point to us as evidence of his glory. It's like, what? He could use so many other things. But I remind you, Christ, at his resurrection from the dead, was already manifest to the universe, already presented to God. We have not yet been. So God is going to point to us and say, these are my glory, that we should be for the Lord of his glory. We're going to be lauded as a reflection upon what God has done with us, brought us from the lowest places on earth, not just the lowest places geographically. Some of us may live in Colorado when you're up there a little bit in altitude, but the lowest places as far as our exuberance for this call. We're a lot of us are low at this point. Some of us even doubt that any of this is going to happen. That's a low place. Some of us wonder how God's going to get us through the rest of the day. That's a low place. Some of us cannot even expect any more of ourselves. That's a low place. So it's going to reflect on the glory of God that he brought such people in such dire straits to the tip top of universal rule. Can you imagine that? We don't have to. It's here, written, to us, that we should be for the Lord of his glory, who are pre-expectant in the Christ. This is another part of the secret. Just because this is not stated right in verse 10, Paul's elucidation of the secret to have an administration of the complement of the heirs to head up all in the Christ, doesn't mean that being pre-expectant in the Christ is not also a secret, because it is pre-expectant. So everything you read about the second coming of Christ in other scriptures, in the Old Covenant writings, the prophecies concerning Christ returning to the Mount of Olives to set up the kingdom, we have an expectation before that happens. This is why we all anticipate to be out of here before the tribulation starts. We're pre-expectant in the Christ. Verse 13, in whom you also, on hearing the word of truth, the evangel of your salvation, in whom on believing also you were sealed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I've heard this called a promissory spirit. That's fine. We're sealed. That is, this information that we have comes to us and becomes realized by us only because of the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of God causing us to understand it. And once we get it, once that light comes on and we say, oh, I get it, poof, it's sealed. Boom. God puts duct tape around all the vents, plugs up under the doors, puts duct tape everywhere, like people do when they're about to kill themselves. You know, block off every air coming into the garage and start the car. Oh, well, it's the same kind of thing, except this keeps the promise, keeps the expectation from escaping, keeps the information from escaping. You are sealed with the best sealant that's ever been invented, and that is the Holy Spirit of promise. So that's why Paul says at the beginning here, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blesses us with every spiritual blessing among the celestials in Christ. Yep. And one of the greatest blessings we have is that we have been told secrets. Hardly anybody understands these secrets. Christians think they're going to be playing harps in heaven. Yeah, and walking on the streets of gold, floating on clouds, cavorting with angels, shaking hands with St. Peter. So juvenile. They have no idea, for one thing, that God is going to perfect everything. I want to look at that word complement again. To have an administration of the complement, that is the filling up of the eras, every loose end that has ever been. And there's a lot of them. We're going to bring all those things together and head up. We're going to head up all in the Christ. We have to be pretty powerful to do that, and we're going to be. We're going to be given the same position as Christ, the same privileges, maybe not the position, because Christ is always preeminent. He's the head of the body. But we have the same position in that we are members of his body, and we will definitely have the same power, the delegated authority to head up all in the Christ. Do I know the particulars of how that's going to happen? No, I don't need to know the particulars. All I need to know is that it will happen. And it is in accord. This is the greatest, one of the greatest points here, and I'll end with this. It is in accord with the purpose. This is a purpose. This is a decided action, decided before the disruption of the world. Oh, and by the way, we're chosen in him before the disruption of the world. Verse 4 of Ephesians 1. That goes nicely hand in hand there. This is in accord with his will and his purpose. Purpose, he has a plan. This purpose, is it going to be completed? Well, it's according to the purpose of the one who is operating all in accord with the counsel of his will. Whatever his will is, whatever he decides to do, whatever he counsels within himself, when he was the only being in the universe, it has to happen. It's just a matter of when.